What does bring joy is a sharing. When we share, when you get to know somebody and you share with them, the more that you are able to share, the more you enjoy the relationship. So in heaven, there is complete 100% sharing with everybody's there, but we're always increasing. We're always bringing in new entities into the sonship, so we have new entities with which to share. So that means everything is not static. Everything is always expanding, and the ability to share and receive joy is ever expanding. That's the basic idea there. Okay, any questions on that?
So, when you say going from one instance to the next, do you retain a memory of the previous instances, or you say we let go of
them? You let go of them, yeah.
So that there's a memory to let go of, then.
Yeah, it says there's no memory as we understand it in heaven. There's awareness. So there's awareness of the past instances. But the thing is, the past instances are included in the current instance. In the new instance, there's new creation, but the old creation is still there.
And nothing to remember because it's all still here.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. Nothing to remember because everything is in your awareness. But as creation expands, more stuff comes into your awareness.
So that's then how we know that there have been previous instances then, because there's things here.
Yeah, you'd know about the previous instances. Now, it does talk about the original separation happened so far back in our time that it is even beyond the possibility of remembering. Boy, that would be a long time in the past, wouldn't it? So this... Now, according to esoteric teachings, this is not the first universe. There's been perhaps an unlimited or infinite number of universes in the past. That would be a good way to describe it. Happens. The original creation happened so far back in the past, it's beyond the memory. And the Tibetan, he only goes back one solar system beyond this, but he indicates there was many beyond even that. But he doesn't say anything about them because it's probably beyond our ability to retrieve the memory of those things.
Which brings me to another question. So we have what we conceive of the Akashic Records, which is a form of memory, right?
Yeah.
It's a record of things that happen. Do you know what the duration of those records are? Or do they...
Yeah, it's quite possible that when a universe unfolds that we don't need the Akashic Records anymore. I would imagine they're retrievable somehow, but we probably don't really need them.
Ancient archives.
Yeah, he says very little about, the last solar system. There's enough of knowledge about it to supply some elementary things about it, but he doesn't give many details about what that previous solar system was. Outside, it was on Ray 3, and it was developed intelligence and matter. Yeah.
I was just stretching.
Oh, okay, you're just stretching. Okay, we'll just briefly go into the dream. I wrote a chapter called The Mysteries of the Dream. It says, this is a quote, "Does not a world that seems quite real arise in dreams? Yet think what this world is. It is clearly not the world you saw before you slept. Rather, it is a distortion of the world planned solely around what you would have preferred." Now, I don't really accept that 100% because many of my dreams, I dream about stuff that I would not prefer to happen to me.
Amen.
You know, if I'm being chased by some monster or bad guy in a dream, it's not something I would have preferred. But it also indicates that we created this world because we preferred this over heaven in a number of ways. So we decided to create this world. Then he says, "What if you recognize that this world is a hallucination? What if you really understood that you just made it up?" Okay. And that's the basic, one of the basic teachings of the Course is that we just made up this world. All the pain and suffering and nightmares and disturbances that we have are really just things that we made up, and we are totally responsible for them. And speaking of that, I'm going to read a couple things it said about health. It says some interesting things about health, that everything that we experience, and I can't find my chapter on that, everything we experience about health and pain is the result of our own decisions. It kind of makes it sound like if we have pain, that's what we wanted, you know. But nobody really wants pain. But I think the idea is that everything that happens is because of something that we chose somewhere. Of course, the teachings are that before we were born, we actually planned this life. And so if we have a life that has a lot of pain in it, we chose that life so that we could have certain types of experiences and gain certain type of knowledge. The Course merely points out that if we want to eliminate pain, we just have to choose differently. If we choose differently, then the pain can just be, it makes it sound like the pain can just be gone.
Now, if you show me how to choose differently.
Yeah. Yeah, so you just got to figure out how to choose differently, right?
Show me how.
Yeah.
Go study.
We'd have to do some mind melding.
Yes.
We'll get the Vulcan mind meld.
Well, it points out that the mind is fractured, it's divided. Your right-mindedness is connected still to heaven. Your wrong-mindedness is down here, and it's distorted. And so you want many things down here, and one want conflicts with another want. So if you're in pain, you don't want to be in pain, but to solve that problem, you have to eliminate something else that you may want, okay, because you have conflicting, because we're dealing with a split mind down here, it says, you have all kinds of conflict with your thoughts. And it says when your thoughts are not in conflict, then your body will be in perfect health. But your thoughts are in conflict, so it produces a disturbance in energy that creates pain and suffering. And the same thing with relationships. When relationships are in conflict, then people wind up splitting and being apart. When thoughts are together, then they like being together. Yeah.
Yeah, you can be a really bad guy, a psychopath, and have perfect health because you have no conflict.
Yeah. No, yeah, because his thoughts are not split.
Yeah.
And they're not in conflict in that area anyway. Yeah. They may be in conflict in other areas that make him the bad guy. But yeah, some people that are really really irritating are in perfect health because they don't have conflicting thoughts that interfere with their health. Then, of course, in the esoteric teachings, we know that karma is involved in some health problems. But even here, it's a conflict that is being resolved. And the Course tells us that even what we think is karma can be negated through harmonizing our thoughts. Okay, any questions on any of this before we wrap it up?
Final question. I was just wondering, do you think the Course of Miracles, when it was written, its intent to reach the masses, I guess, do you think that was fulfilled? Or do you think it was a semi-disappointment on the part of the hierarchy, for example, to put this out?
Well, let's suppose it is from Christ or Jesus. Matter of fact, the Tibetan predicted that a new round of revelation would occur around 1978 to 1979 time period, and that's when the Course in Miracles came out. But for esoteric students, they think, well, what happened? You know, they never showed up. But I think it was the Course in Miracles was the new revelation that the Tibetan predicted. And if it was by Christ or Jesus, then it was from the hierarchy. But the trouble is, it's a total different type of presentation. It's more of a presentation to the masses, because it doesn't have any complicated esoteric language. It has very some doesn't have a lot of large vocabulary involved, just simple vocabulary.
But it's abstract. I mean, when I first read it, I find there is something very abstract about it. It's as if I have 10,000 pieces of puzzle and I have to put it together in an hour. There's something very abstract about it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's when you said the presentation that speaks to me more. There's something about the way it's presented that makes it hard for me anyway to just take it in.
Yeah. Yet it seems to appeal to a lot of kind of average people out there that just are not interested in the Tibetan, or a lot of them aren't even interested in anything New Age. It's an interesting cross-section of people. It appeals to a cross-section of people that nothing else appeals to. And so that might be part of the reason it was written, to appeal to cross-section of people that nothing else is reaching, you know. And consequently, it's dismissed by a lot of New Age and theosophical people who just dismiss it. They read 10 pages and they throw it away.
You know? So what you wrote, you felt like this would be a bridge between bringing those theosophical students as a terrorist.
Yeah, and the course itself says it's just one of the presentations, but it said it was written to speed things up and to collapse time. That if you take in these lessons appropriately, you will collapse the time of your awakening, so you will awaken faster. And he pointed out that this was... He acted like it was an unexpected development that it was needed this way. Matter of fact, he said with Helen Schuckman, she was like a disciple under training that wasn't fully trained yet, but they decided to use her because there was a celestial speed up necessary, it said. So they used her before she was ready. And she didn't, what was interesting is that she didn't really, wasn't really a big student of the course herself. She said she didn't really understand it completely. But
so are you suggesting that we all read the book?
It's up to you. If you feel impressed to go through the lessons, do it. If not, well, whatever you feel impressed toward.
You can definitely order this guy's book on Amazon that talks about it and explains what it means, because most people doesn't know it.
Yeah, and I've got the whole thing posted online for free, yeah. My book on it. Yeah, I'd suggest you read my book on it first, and then when you read it, it'll make a lot more sense to you.
What's the name of your book?
The Mysteries of the Course in Miracles.
Do you have a hard copy here?
You can order a hard copy on Amazon, but I'm going through Amazon Publishing rather than publish it myself on this one. Yeah.
JJ, where can I get a digital copy then? I have a hard copy, but I'd like a digital copy. You said it's most.
I can just give you one free.
Okay.
Just email me and remind me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Michael Newton's people that he's regressed to their life between lives has confirmed that you get together with your soul group or your family members and you plan your future incarnation and who's going to have what role, and what's going to happen. So that agrees with what the Course says, right?
Yeah, the Course is pretty much in harmony. It says that it pretty much tells us our life is planned. And a lot of students misinterpret that, in my opinion. They think everything is predetermined. So they think if I snap my fingers, that was planned a million years ago, which I think is ridiculous. But we basically, according to Michael Newton, we do plan our lives, but everything doesn't always go according to plan. Sometimes people commit suicide, and a number of people in the group were depending on interactions with that person to fulfill their life's plan, so everything had to be kind of replanned. you know, if somebody committed suicide prematurely or something like that. You know.
It's like a GPS that has to reroute if you missed your exit.
Yeah.
Whenever legal, it's a new turn.
Reroute.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about. It's one of the things that kind of convinced me to continue with the course was what it said about forgiveness, grievances, denial, and things like that was very much in harmony with what I had come up with, and I hadn't read in any book some of it. It did reaffirm things that I had received soul contact on. I did continue. But the first time I read it was back in 1980, and I did almost all the lessons back then. And I just pretty much let it sit on the shelf. I did listen to the audio version once in between. And then after I finished, I was going through and making notes of all the Tibetan's books and Blavatsky's books. And when I was finishing that, I thought, well, I ought to do this with it. Course in Miracles too, because it would be an interesting book to explore more deeply. And then when I really started going through it carefully, I found it had a lot more meat in it than I got the first time round, and there was a lot that I missed the first time round. The first time round, it did seem like it was just repeating itself over and over a lot. But in each repetition, it gives hints of additional truths, which is quite interesting. So, yeah, I would recommend you read my book, and then after that, go through the course. It's no commandment or anything, but just if it strikes your interest, that I would think that would be helpful to be able to read my book first. That gives you a really good structure of the belief system presented in the course. Okay, my friends, that's pretty much wraps it up. We'll just plan on meeting back here at 2 o'clock.
No, 3.
Long break. Oh, okay.